Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget your machete as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about mysteries, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts. I think I said mysteries. It's mysteries, monsters, anomalies, and legends. We're going to add mysteries into the beginning of this, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Branding.
Yeah. Now I'm lost. My name's Seth Breedlove. I'm one of your hosts. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful cohort, Mark Matzke.
That's me. Hi. How you doing? I'm feeling good. Okay?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, you've been hard at work.
Yes, we are.
When you're not eating through your way through Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We should mention that trip. We just returned from the second annual Dudes Weekend this year. Last year, Tommy and I went away, and it was during the middle. It was like the week after the Kickstarter launched or something like that. Tommy and I, my son, my 2.5-year-old son, went last year to Pittsburgh and went to the Science Center. And this year we did science again, went to COSI, which is Columbus
Science Institute,
science something. And that's why it's called. Yeah. I don't
science-y
know. What's the O
place? Oh, I'm assuming it's Columbus, like a abbreviation CO.
Okay.
I don't know.
I need to work on that. Anyway, we went away for a weekend and Mark and Andy joined us and we did father-son weekend. It was pretty wild. It was less than 36 hours, I think.
Right.
We weren't even gone like 2 days, but it felt like, I talked to Adam Dugan last night and he said it looked like we were gone for like a week.
It felt like satisfyingly we did a lot of stuff.
We crammed a lot into a very, very short period of time, including going to see a bison herd, which is pretty cool, mm-hmm. which I didn't know there were bison in Ohio. So that alone made the trip worthwhile. But anyway, yeah, before we get into the topic of this week's show, which is another listener mail episode, announcements we have coming up in, well, first up is February 6th. We are doing we'll be launching the Kickstarter, Small Town Monsters Kickstarter for all of our 2020 projects. For those that don't know, Monsteropolis is the official podcast of Small Town Monsters. So we are launching the Kickstarter. I'm getting emotional over it. We're launching the Kickstarter for the Mark of the Bell Witch, the Mothman Legacy, and On the Trail of UFOs. That launches February 6th. You'll be able to get bunch of cool stuff, DVDs, Blu-rays.
The Bell Witch statue has been revealed.
Yeah, we revealed the Bell Witch statue by Gene St. Jean, and this is the tallest. It's almost 15 inches, so it's
no kidding. Yeah, it's gigantic.
Because I'm trying to I guess.
Whoa!
Smacked my face into the microphone.
Look out.
I thought I had his other statues in here, but I think his tallest previously was like 11 inches. So this dwarfs the last tallest one.
A giant Bell Witch.
Yeah. And my favorite thing about this is the base. It reminds me of Castle Grayskull. Is that the one?
Oh, really? The Masters playset? Of the Universe. Sure.
It's got the skull and I never liked He-Man, but I always loved that castle and that set.
The toys were awesome.
That's what I was going to say. When they announced, even recently, they did the Funko Pop. Mm-hmm. And I almost bought them just because the color palette is so cool on those. But I never was a He-Man guy. Anyway,
I loved how you could wind them up for a punch and then let it go.
Yeah.
And it would come back through.
There was one that great stunk toy. Or something. There was like a smell.
Really?
There, yeah, I think. Like
on purpose? Or?
Yeah, like a stink cheese man or something.
You know, we need Brian Borgman is a huge He-Man fan.
Really?
We should, yeah, we need to talk to him about that.
You know, have him on the show, do a He-Man episode. Just,
yeah, break down the legendarium of He-Man, She-Ra,
yeah.
Skeletor.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, this episode is going to be, oh, wait, one more announcement. Mysteries and Monsters of the Camp Palace Theater, March, shoot.
21st.
March 21st, Camp Palace Theater. Tickets $12 for the entire day event, or $6 for just on the trail of UFOs with guest speakers Shannon LeGros and Lyle Blackburn, as well as the rest of the STM crew. We will probably, we will have DVD and Blu-ray copies of On the Trail of UFOs, despite the fact On the Trail of UFOs won't be coming out until the following weekend. So Ooh. There will be DVDs and Blu-rays because we are on target for our our release schedule as of right now. So, yeah, I haven't even announced that anywhere. I think the official release of On the Trail of UFOs is like March 29th. It's the next Friday. Wait, that wouldn't be the 20th. Whatever. It's like the 27th, I think is what it is. So, anyway, this week we're talking about listener mail. We're talking about it. We're not reading it.
Yeah,
we're just going to talk. We're going to spend 25 minutes talking
40
about,
minutes of talking
about how you guys mail us things. But before we get into that, we did have a correction from Shane Corson. Shane is in the Olympic Project, the OP, OP. And last week we talked about the Olympic Project on the show and I got some things wrong. So Shane wanted to correct me. He just said, one quick comment. I heard you guys mention that the OP is funded by WALL-E. That's inaccurate. We are self-sustaining. WALL-E has funded the OP in the past, but that was years ago. This isn't hate mail, just a comment. If we were fully funded or even partially, I personally believe we could take this to the next level. Just my opinion. That's kind of what we were talking or talking about in that episode.
Right.
Is how if people like the Olympic Project could get the funding, there probably would be a better chance of solving the mystery.
But to me, that makes it even more impressive what they are doing right now to know that that's, you know, it's all privately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like how
probably
I feel about
themselves.
Well, I mean, we've said it and we've probably reiterated it 100 times on this show that those are the two groups for me that I've had, that I have a lot of respect for and believe they're capable of solving the thing. Also, there are individuals in the group that are actively trying to prove the existence of Sasquatch. The organization as a whole is about collecting as much data as possible. If the species is proven to exist, groups like NAWAC and the OP will have a plethora of stuff to share. This is not a rebuttal nor a complaint. I love what you do, and I'm a huge supporter. Shane went on to say, I specifically moved to Washington to research this subject, and I've put a lot on the line and shifted my whole life around it, and life is good. I would say that 90% of what the OP does in regards to this phenomena is never shared publicly and definitely not on social media. So he did extend an invitation to come spend more time there. So that's awesome. Cause I actually plan on taking him up on that.
Yeah.
As we prepare to launch some more projects that we haven't announced yet. The long and short of it is I'm an idiot and got my information wrong. And the other thing that I liked about this though was Shane's comment about how, he shifted his whole life around the subject and the mystery. And that's where I would go if we do go back out there. Like personally, I want to talk to those guys about like, and we did that a little bit for On the Trail of Bigfoot, but things like that, like how that affects researchers' lives and investigators' lives. That's a part of what I wanted to do with On the Trail of Bigfoot. And we kind of did with the sixth episode, but you don't really get into it as deeply as I would like to. Cause a lot of people still look at investigators as being quacks or weekend warriors or people that don't really that are using it as an excuse to go out with their buddies. And I would say that is the largest number of investigators. That's what they do, you know, and they post pictures of themselves in the woods.
Right. But Shane is just so solid. Mm-hmm. And for him to make that statement, I think it does show you the level of commitment
yeah.
that he has in it. Also, he very recently appeared on Cliff and Bobo's podcast.
Did he?
And went into a lot of detail, I think, on the type of data that they've collected, oh, the cool. things that he's seen.
Yeah, I mean, I've called Shane or talked to Shane on the phone for a reason that had nothing to do with Small Town Monsters. I had curiosity about those nests. Mm-hmm. And we spent maybe 20-25 minutes on the phone just discussing the nests. So at some point there's plenty for us to get back into.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. That's good support to have
yeah.
from the OP guys. That's yeah. pretty huge.
For sure. And glad we could set the record straight yeah. on that as well. All right, we have letters we want to get into.
Letters and questions.
And
we
questions.
Got Q&A.
We got a
bunch.
Yeah, we got just, a lot.
It's a potpourri of...
paranormal potpourri. Yeah.
All right, so this actually, when we put the call out for questions, this is one that came in via Twitter that unfortunately was passed over the first time through. And it was kind of interesting. Number one, it's two-parter. Well, it's a question and a comment. Question first. With the catastrophic wildfires in Australia and an estimated 500 million animals dying in said fire, what are your thoughts on finding a deceased thylacine or a yowie?
Whoa. What?
What are your thoughts on finding a deceased thylacine or a yowie?
What's a thylacine?
It's...
I was thinking coelacanth, and I was like, well, that doesn't
yeah,
make any
no,
sense.
It's like a four-legged creature. The Tasmanian
yeah,
devil.
Right. Is that what's on the International Cryptozoology Museum logo? Or is that, was that?
That's a coelacanth. The thylacine has been used for the...
No, I know the coelacanth. You're making me sound like a complete moron. I know a coelacanth, but there's like a...
The International Cryptozoology
Conference
or the consortium that they are.
Yeah.
That's the thylacine.
Okay. Well, there's at some point, I swear they had some sort of four-legged Tasmanian tiger looking thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just the Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think the coelacanth is still out there, guys. I think he's safe in the waters. I don't
know.
They're
still pulling those up. I mean,
yeah,
every so often.
But this subject's interesting because I have done nothing to look into the yowie. I would assume you probably know considerably more about the yowie than I do. But I've done nothing to look into that subject, and I haven't looked into any of the international Bigfoot stuff. The Yeren and Yeti probably the most, mm-hmm. but I was so fascinated with the idea that the thing could be in our own backyard that I never really have spent much time looking into it. Also, I've also felt like if these things exist in every country in the world, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like that can't be the case. It just straight up can't be the case. And if it is, then I think you're looking more towards something paranormal or supernatural.
Right. Or the whatever folklore impulse there is to yeah. tell stories about people.
Yeah.
Or things, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm the question made me recall, you know, all the apocryphal stories that were told about Mount St. Helens, for example, when that exploded. And then there were stories about Bigfoot bodies being retrieved by government organizations and flown out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's either the concluding chapters or I think it's an appendix of The Locals by Tom Powell. Is all about his email exchange with somebody who claimed to have been placed within the government when that took, either when that happened or it was with one of the wildfires that swept through the Pacific Northwest. And there was either a dying Bigfoot that emerged from the fire, something like that. It wasn't Mount St. Helens per se, but mm-hmm. These are stories that arise, and I guess I have not heard of anything coming out of Australia regarding a cryptid creature that was burned in the fire. The thing that's what's implied is that if something like that was found, any government would move to cover it up, especially the Bigfoot type creature, the owie in this case.
Yeah, I mean, if these things are exist, like a thylacine is existing in small numbers, would we even find that? Even if they did die in the fire, would you?
Probably not.
See, I don't know.
It would very quickly decompose.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking, because the fires are so powerful too. And I mean, are we just finding, are the forests just littered with dead animals after these fires? That's a serious question. I don't know anything about it.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea. I would assume with the rate of decomposition just normally, mm-hmm. I mean, you add a fire to that and you're essentially cremating these creatures.
Yeah.
I don't know that you'd have much in the way of anything to find.
Yeah.
And more to the point, people going out looking for such things. I mean, you've got other things to deal with in the wake of the monumental fires that Australia's experienced. You're just trying to live life again. I don't think you're going out.
Right.
Anybody's and going looking, out.
Frantically going out to find a.
Right.
A yaoi. But it is interesting, if they're escaping those fires, you'd think they would go in any direction, including toward civilization,
mm-hmm.
which would potentially, you know, amount to more sightings of them. I do remember sort of similar when the Boggy Creek, when that area down there flooded, he said reports died, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't mm-hmm. that? And then he could track that kind of for years there, for a few years, when, like, right when the flooding happened, and then right afterward, there were no sightings coming in at all while things were flooded. I don't know that you could say that's just because people aren't going back in the woods as much, or, you know, maybe they retreated to higher ground, like sure. the Wachita Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their hangout.
Yeah. Well, it's up the same, not to get off track, but I mean, they were telling me while I was there that creek that literally flows through X feeds into, like, the one of those rivers that eventually feeds into the Boggy Sulphur Creek.
River.
It's all connected.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah, I think, I mean, if memory serves, the story that Tom Powell recounts via email was not that they found a dead body, but that
they found one that had
singed, like running out of the fire.
Yeah.
And was gathered into a truck.
Just a mental image of a cartoonish Bigfoot fleeing with its butt on fire.
Zoinks.
Yeah. Like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Right. Or
so, yeah, I mean, it would seem to be, on one hand, you'd have an opportunity to obtain some sort of specimen. But, you know, with the type of fire that it was, would there be anything left? I mm-hmm. think that's doubtful.
Yeah.
But it's a intriguing idea.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of that was just a statement. I have a rock solid, credible, albeit old Ohio dogman sighting by at least 5 witnesses.
Whoa.
This is Mothman 46.
Oh, nice.
Who's always interacting on Twitter and is a real supporter of the show. So that's kind of,
I'd like to know more about that and where it happened. Mm-hmm. Let me know if it's Silver Creek Metro Park so I can make fun of you. I'm just kidding. But there's been no dogman in the Silver Creek Metro. We need to do a Silver Creek Metro Park dogman episode.
Yeah, we should do like a on location episode. Go out and put some stakes down.
I mean, the Silver Creek thing, I've been, for anyone following the Small Town Monsters, or I guess my personal Instagram, Adam and I go to Silver Creek every time he's up from Tennessee, and we go at night and we take flashlights and we go walking in the woods looking for the Silver Creek Dogman. We have actually been unable to verify even general locations where people are claimed, and these things are mapped out. Online there's maps of where people are having sightings of the Silver Creek Dogman, and the locations don't even check out with where the layout of the area. So
it's concerning.
I do know that like Linda Godfrey's been up here investigating it, and I know that it was a big thing because it was pushed by a certain Sasquatch podcast, and it was pushed by a website that went on to make a couple independent series that have recently been getting a lot of press. And those people are real shady. anyway, I just don't know that the Silver Creek Dogman is the thing. And I've been unable to really. Now, I will say, I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but Adam and I talked to a police officer that told us that, actually, I think I've told the story on the show, but I've gotten us way off topic here. But Adam and I were in Silver. This was the first time he was up. We were in Silver Creek Metro Park. Should I do some setup for this real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. For listeners who are unaware, the Silver Creek Metro Park in Norton, Ohio, has supposedly been visited by a dog man for a couple decades. There are reports online. If you search Silver Creek dog man, you'll find reports online. They're going to be found at two websites for equally shady. anyway, the reports of the Silver Creek dog man are that it's a typical dogman type creature, but wandering this metro park. And if you read, one of the reasons I am calling bunk is that both of these stories, and I think all the one site is doing is sort of repeating other information online, but either way, they're sort of claiming this is a very rural metro park in the middle of nowhere. The thing is that the metro park is 5 minutes down the road from where I live. And Adrian and I have walked there pretty much since we moved into the area. We take Tommy there. This is not a rural park. It is a metro park that is surrounded by fairly large suburban and urban areas. You've got Barberton right down the road. You've got Norton right down the road. And you've got Wadsworth right down the road. And if you look at it, if you see, this is why I think it's this is what's telling about it. Is if you just look at the place, you might think it's isolated or rural, but it's really not. It's really surrounded by the only area section of the park that really could be on the fringe of getting into some wilderness type areas would be the southern end of the park. And even there you've got a major road that cuts right through there.
It's one of those locations that used to be rural. But development
this area, especially we talked about that on the show, is the area where I live at one time, even when Adrian and I moved in 6 years ago, was more rural than it is today. But the area has been so heavily developed. But anyway, these reports have been going on. Adam and I were in there one night just walking around, and a police officer pulled in because he saw us. We were in there after it was hours were still going. It goes, you can walk around the park till 11 o'clock at night, and we were there at like 9:30, but it was pitch black, and he saw a car, so he pulled in and he asked us what we were doing, and I mentioned the Silver Creek dog man. He thought I was just pulling his leg, and so he called dispatch and asked them about it, and a person at dispatch said that they have taken reports from the area of something running on two legs that's like a werewolf. So there have been those reports, but again, the reports you're finding online are probably either faulty information or something. I'd honestly like to speak to a witness from the area if I could, because I am interested in this. I just find there's issues with the Planet Weird info that's online. And again, I don't even know if that originated with them.
The Battelle Darby Creek area we were in.
Yeah. That was dogman territory.
Seemed dogman-y to us. For whatever reason. I mean, it's 7,000 acres of
it looked like it was largely Ohio. Swampy land. Really reminded us of the area just outside the Kettle Moraines where we filmed in Bray Road.
Now, what was interesting then was for the next episode, I'm going to be talking about books, and one of the chapters in Shannon's book is a dogman chapter that is near Bucyrus. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
And as far as I know, Bucyrus, it would not be unlike the type of terrain that we were seeing down there by Darby Creek, you know, sort of just transitional Ohio fields into small rolling hills and
fields
creeks
and swamps. That seems to be where the reports come in the most, which again is kind of, I don't know that I'd call Silver Creek swampy at all. It's mostly forest, and then it does have you actually, it's really a cool park. Like you walk through you walk right past a barn. Like there's a farmer's field that's like part of the park now. It is a cool, we should go over there. You should come with us some night when we do our dog band walk. We've gone over there like 6 or 7 times at night and walked around. But yeah, I don't know how we got from the Yeren and, or from the Yowie to that. But.
From, oh, well, it's the part two of the tweet.
Yeah.
Question. Was,
oh, that's right. Yeah. Mothman 46.
Yeah.
Throwing us
so
into the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, ready for the next message.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is hi, Seth and Mark, the entire team behind Small Town Monsters. I just wanted to write and say, I think STM is basically the best cryptid paranormal TV content that exists at the moment. It all looks beautiful, and there is an intelligence and sensitivity to the approach that cannot be found anywhere else. And I'll leave the parenthetical comment out. I love the way that STM productions focus on the people and places affected by the cryptids paranormal phenomena instead of the stunts and wild goose chases found basically everywhere else. Of course, I watch and enjoy that stuff too, but I have to recognize when something is really great. There's an almost anthropological sensitivity to STM films that reminds me of the classic canon of documentary film, but they are also approachable and entertaining. The DIY nature of the STM enterprise is also a massive inspiration to me because you all make such great stuff on your own. I'm a musician and video artist myself, and though I don't even try to make it into a career, I'm an environmental scientist by trade. I look to artists like yourselves for inspiration. Anyway, like I said, I love your work, and I always look forward to the next thing. If you have the time and inclination, you can watch my Bigfoot show. There are 3 short episodes. It is called Squatchin' with Josh. I don't believe it is just the same old Bigfoot stuff. And that's available on YouTube.
Cool.
Thanks for doing what you do. Sincerely, Josh Moss.
Thanks, Josh. I don't know what to say to these.
Yeah, I know.
They mean a lot, though. If you can keep them coming, that's the... This is the phase in a post-production project where I have beaten myself up to the point where I am bleeding. Not literally, but emotionally and mentally, I am exhausted. We reach, it's funny because like this is every single project. Mark can speak to this and Jason can definitely speak to this. But there is a point in the post-production where I have edited almost to the end. We're almost to the end. And I'm now at the point where I have to go back and watch through stuff and make sure that there's not, you know, little things out of place. And so in watching back through everything, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I hate everything I've just done. So for the next like 3 weeks, that's where we'll be. And then we'll get past that. And then I just get horribly depressed because I get really like the projects that I love being a part of, even though I'm well aware that we're going to go right back into working on something else, or like I'm already working on something else actually, but you get real depressed. This has been the worst that I can recall would be, when we finished Momo was very difficult for me because I really did have a lot of fun with that one. I missed Invasion on Chestnut Ridge like crazy after it was over, to the point where I think I remember crying at one point.
Oh man.
But On the Trail of UFOs is going to be one of those ones where I will definitely be missing it. And it's funny because I think we're going to, I mean, we haven't announced anything yet, but I think we're going to continue doing things like this or more of this. So I already am aware we're going back into it, but just the experience on this one's been pretty crazy. It's been going on all year.
Yeah.
Just like with On the Trail of Bigfoot.
It's so interesting to me, like the people that you meet, but also the places themselves sort of imprint themselves on you.
Yeah.
So once you've been there, and like we were looking at footage today of the White Mountains.
That's what's in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been in my head for the last few days because of that.
And, you know, we're talking about Shane and the Olympic Project.
Yep.
I think about that trip probably every day. Easily.
Yeah, I don't think there's a day that goes by where I don't think about that. And that's funny to me because it was so chaotic and then I got sick. I can remember you and I just on the drive up to the Olympic Project. Around every bend we would be like, oh my God, like you couldn't, I mean, cause neither of us had been out there. Right.
Right.
I'd never been out to that part of like the Pacific Northwest. So it's true. Like I don't know that is expressed frequently enough, is that at the end of the day, I think that STM is it a big excuse for me to be able to travel to places I would otherwise not
yeah.
get to go to. And I'm a travel fool,
mm-hmm.
travel fiend.
A fiend yeah. for
But thank you. Yeah, thank you a lot for that email. And I actually shared that email with the crew, with Zach and Jason and a lot of the other people that are involved in the movies, and everyone was very flattered. Like when as awesome as our audience is, we don't get a ton of like things like people emailing us, things like that. And whenever we do, I like to share it with the crew, because it does get, sometimes you feel like you're making projects in a vacuum, and I don't mm-hmm. think we aren't, but you feel that way. And I think it's because you are isolated to an extent when you're doing this. Like, and I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about like the whole, everyone involved with it. And you kind of forget that there's going to be millions of people watching it eventually, and picking it apart is the other thing.
Sure.
Like we put something out, like I remember Flatwoods coming out and getting hammered in some of the reviews over different little things, you know, like the some of the recreations and stuff like that. And man, like the kids that were playing were the boys were, you know, my nieces and nephews and everything were sticking them in front of the camera. So to us, I think this stuff is very personal to the entire crew. So when people send us stuff like this, it means a lot.
Yeah, it really does. I think one of the phrases that stood out for me from this letter is the, I love the way that STM focuses on the people and places affected by the cryptids mm-hmm. / paranormal phenomena. And even just today recording this episode, you know, we've talked about how we want to go deeper into that.
Yeah.
If anything, I mean, if we're going to delve into anything more, it would be, you know, what makes, you know, the effect it has on eyewitnesses for one thing, but also the researchers.
Yeah.
You know, why do you keep doing this? You know, why does a Shane Corson reorient his life around mm-hmm. The gathering of data in the Olympic Peninsula? Those are such interesting questions on their own merits.
I wonder what inspires that side of what our approach to it too, because do you think, how much of that do you think has to do with the fact that I don't know. It's interesting to wonder if how much of our approach is informed by the fact that we aren't necessarily trying to prove the existence of any of this stuff. Or how much of it is because of the fact that the 70% of the crew doesn't give two craps about
right.
Bigfoot and
sure.
paranormal mm-hmm. and stuff like that. They're interested in making good projects and telling good stories.
It's a balance that, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about other yeah. production companies,
but either.
I think it's probably fairly unique
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes, the makeup of the crew and what we think about it. It is complex. And I, you know, we've talked about it many, many times, but even in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of competing ideas,
yeah.
much less anybody else. So yeah, that's cool. Great letter.
Yeah. Thank you.
Check out Josh's stuff on YouTube also. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, we got a letter from the Kenmore Grassman again.
Oh, heck yeah.
He's very busy.
He's local too. Obviously.
By the way, have you ever been to Kenmore Comics?
Yes.
It's a pretty good store.
It's a good store.
Yeah.
I have some stories about...
Do you really?
About being yelled at in that store.
Oh,
but,
my.
But yeah, it's a cool store. I took Tommy there not too long ago. But yeah, it is. Kenmore Comics. The only thing that bugs me about that store is the comics is spelled with a K. And every time I see the sign, I want to scream.
Take a big
yeah.
eraser.
Yeah. Fix this. But yeah, it is a cool comic.
That street parking is so weird
yeah.
along there now.
I've had to park up behind.
That's where we park
on the back streets.
We went,
yeah. And Kenmore isn't exactly.
Yeah, you got to get in and out.
Yeah, you don't want to be down there too long.
Unless you're exploring for the Kenmore grass.
Yeah,
in which looking, case.
And it is the Kenmore. It's crazy, but Kenmore is where the nests were found. Mm-hmm. And anyone that knows the area.
Yeah, that's another aha moment as far as if you've ever seen those nest pictures, you would assume it's like out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's really not at all.
It's really not. It's right off the you can actually see the area from the highway
mm-hmm.
from 7 224 as it goes through there. you can see the area where those nests, the Kenmore Grassman nests, were found. The Grassman is very likely just a homeless person. There's a lot of that going on over there,
mm-hmm.
along with shootings.
Yeah. So, with that said, hi there, KG here again. I'm a new listener, but I'm catching up on the old episodes. Just got Wi-Fi in the cave. So, number one, as for Bigfoot, what are your personal thoughts on his existence? Are you true believers? Do you have any doubts?
I'm still 85% that Bigfoot is real. And that all just goes back to what happened to me. And you can experience what happened to me when you watch On the Trail of Bigfoot, episode number 5, which is free on YouTube or Amazon Prime. So that'll answer where I'm at. Mark, you're a true believer, 100%.
I am a true believer and a true skeptic.
Yeah.
So I've tried to articulate that. And that actually came up in the last episode.
I thought
we went into that in pretty good detail. But it's in me, there's the, you know, Sean Forker actually reached out to me after listening to that, and he said that he's in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
He said he considers himself a hopeful skeptic, I think was mm-hmm. was the term that he used, or something equivalent to that. And I think that's kind of where I'm at as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want nothing more than for it to be true. I would love to see one. I know everyone says you want to see one, and then you see one and you don't want to, but I want to. I don't care. Whatever the consequences are, that would be extremely exciting for me to see. And at the same time, when I'm out there, you know, when we're in situations like we've been
mm-hmm.
in so-called hot spots or historically places where Bigfoot's been sighted, I'm 100% skeptical.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've
that's,
got...
That's the way with me.
So I can't just really, I mean...
But I think it's a good... I think that's the good way to be, because like I told you when I was in X... We got to the point where you tuned out everything
because
mm-hmm. you just couldn't, you had to be skeptical about everything because everything was so strange to me.
Yeah.
We were hearing sounds that I'd never heard before. I told you, like, there's things that have gone out of I at one point in the distance, I thought I heard an Ohio howl.
Mm-hmm.
We heard voices in the woods at night. Like, there's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You just got to the point where you tune everything out until something happens that slaps you upside the head,
mm-hmm.
like the eyes or the screaming in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. And at the same time, every crash in the woods is not Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to live right up next to a ravine, mm-hmm. and there was one day where I was just looking outside at the right time and saw an old rotted tree fall over.
Yeah.
And nothing caused that except time and rotting and, you know, gravity. So things just fall or make sounds. And I think that's something I'll talk about a little bit more in the next episode, but every sound in the woods
isn't
not
Bigfoot. Yeah. And every fallen tree isn't a tree structure.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a complex answer, but it's my thoughts are there's something to it. I don't know what. For all the skepticism that I have, and we sit down with people who claim to have experiences, and I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that what they are telling me is truthful.
Yes.
So there's that. Okay, number two, and we just sort of answered that, but we'll run through it real quick. I think Seth has mentioned that he had an experience of some kind with a Bigfoot seeing or hearing. That's the episode 5.
Yeah, episode 5, Area X.
Can you talk about that? You have.
Mm-hmm.
Has Mark had any encounters? The answer is
many. He's mind-speaking with one right now.
Aside from the habituation experience that I've had, no. The answer is no.
Andy and Mark go out in the woods, feed their Bigfoot every day.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I can't say that I have. Not even anything approaching an experience.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest thing I've probably ever seen with my own eyes is that ball lightning that we've talked about in
so
the
cool.
orb episode.
Yeah,
and that's just a natural, albeit unusual mm-hmm. occurrence. So.
Yeah.
But thanks for all you do, Kenmore Grassman. So that's good.
Yeah.
Good listener to have.
Yeah, he's important.
Yeah. Okay, so do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Now, this also is one we touched on, that you touched on, and I don't have a whole lot to say about it, as you'll see. Hello, gentlemen. Making a short question on this one. Wondering if y'all have been watching the show. Is it Bigfoot Expedition or Expedition Bigfoot on the Travel Channel? If so, what are your thoughts? Thanks. And I'm enjoying the podcast. Zachariah Barton from Texas. And Zachariah, once again, I just want to say, is somebody who, when we tweet something out, he's retweeting. He's always interacting with us online. So I really appreciate that level.
The name sounds really familiar. Does Zachariah do a podcast?
I don't know, but he's always, you know, on Twitter for sure.
Yeah.
Is interacting and retweeting. And
all right. Well, I'll answer this. But yeah, we talked about it on the last episode a little bit, but I've watched through episode 4 of Expedition Bigfoot, and it is a fine program. I don't know what else to say about it. It is as good as a Bigfoot show that is on the Travel Channel could be, in my opinion, because the Travel Channel is a crap show, and the shows that are on there are all the same, and it's cookie cutter stuff. And we talk about, if you hear us talk about reality TV, we're talking about it from a place of actual experience with working with Travel Channel and working with companies that work with Travel Channel. I know what they want, and what they want is the same thing on repeat. And so for a show like Expedition Bigfoot to exist in itself is probably a victory, because it's not a, you haven't watched it yet, right?
No, I've watched maybe 30 seconds of one episode.
It's, you know, as far as episode, I'm through episode 4. It might go to crap after that. But through episode 4, it's a pretty straightforward looking for Bigfoot show where, despite their best efforts to ruin it, they haven't yet. You know, so as long as the biggest thing for me is I do feel it is a scripted show.
And when you say there, you mean production, right? Not the principals.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
If you're on a scripted show or a show that's being directed, you know that.
Right.
If you're in front of the camera. So I wouldn't say that everyone's blameless, but to me, there are things that are happening in the show that are clearly
for the camera.
I would also say that there's aspects of the show where you can tell they're editing it a certain way. The thing that I keep coming back to is the one guy, Ryan, in the first episode gets a headache and they try to turn it into Bigfoot is zapping him. And that to me reads like something that they decided in the edit, not that the actors or the principals were aware was going to happen. But some of it, I mean, they do have to ham it up a little bit for the camera. That's just fact, too. I'm not calling them out. That's just how reality TV works. You're going to be directed as to what they want you to do when you're in front of the camera. We were directed by a Japanese television show. So if you're in front of the camera, there's a certain aspect to that you're just going to have to accept. However, again, I'm not bagging on the show. And Gene St. Gene and I have actually been talking about it, and we both have said, like, I enjoy the show. I think Gene likes it. I think you would like it.
There are aspects of it
that remind me of the really good 70s docs that we like. You know, like the one we watched before we went out to Mount St. Helens. There's aspects of it that remind me of that. I wish they wouldn't feel the need to, like, cram in some of the nonsense they do, but it's reality TV that's on the Travel Channel, and that's everything's cookie cutter on it. It's a fine show. I don't hate it.
Am I dreaming this, or did you compare it to Monster Quest at one point?
Yes, it's like the best investigative aspects of Monster Quest.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, we should probably wrap up for this week. We will be back with another show next week. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. If you are, send us an email, monsteropolismail@gmail.com, or leave us a review online. Thanks for listening.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.